that is Jerusalem, the unofficial anthem of England. And this is Heritage Radio Network, and I am Curtis B. Wayne, your host, and we are burning down the house. This program is an Anglo-American event. I'm going to talk about architecture. I'm going to talk about the Prince of Wales, Charles Windsor, and his anti-progressive opinions and what he's doing with his influence. Heritage Radio Network is supported by TechServe. TechServe is having an e-waste recycling event created to help keep hazardous materials out of landfills by recycling your household electronics. You know, anything that has a rechargeable battery cannot go in the waste. It has to go to a recycler. So here's your opportunity to get rid of all those cell phone batteries. Anything else you have? On Saturday, July 10th, from 10 to 4 p.m. at TechServe, 23rd Street near 6th Avenue. More information at www.techserve.com/recycling. Well, apropos of the 4th of July, which is our Independence Day celebration, one of the reasons that we don't speak like this with received pronunciation is because we got rid of the king and the queen and the prince. But our cousins in the United Kingdom still have these pushy, unelected potentates running their mouths and expressing their opinions in ways that can be exceptionally disastrous. Here's Dateline London, 12th June 2009. Victory for Prince Charles as £3 billion Chelsea barracks development is scrapped. Prince Charles won his battle to stop a multi-billion pound modernist development in the heart of London yesterday. The developers withdrew plans to turn the former Chelsea barracks site into a complex glass and steel development. The decision came less than a week before the design was due to be considered by planning chiefs, and follows the prince's direct intervention. Now, this development happened to have been designed by Sir Richard Rogers, one of the architects who designed the Pompidou Centre in Paris. And Sir Richard is a damn good modern architect, and the prince and he have a long-running feud, going back 25 or 26 years. Now, when the prince called Rogers proposed design for the Sainsbury wing, the addition to the National Gallery in Trafalgar Square, like a carbuncle on the face of a beloved friend. Now, Charles hasn't lived that down. That amazing pronouncement follows him to this day. Let's cue the first minute or so, 2 minutes of the Prince's speech to the Royal Institute of British Architects last year.
Ladies and gentlemen, I suspect the only reason I find myself here today is because your president, Sunan Prasad, invited me. And as he's an old student of Keith Critchlow, who founded my School of Traditional Arts, that's what it finally became, I felt I should oblige him. And I dare say he may be regretting his invitation by now. As, if the media are to be believed, are many of you, ladies and gentlemen. So it is a wonder to find this hall seemingly fully occupied. But it is, after all, the Royal Institute of British Architects, 175th anniversary, on which I can only offer you my sincere congratulations. And it does seem that a tradition is emerging whereby I'm asked to join you in celebrating a significant anniversary every 25 years. In another 25 years, I shall very likely have shuffled off this mortal coil. And so those of you who do worry about my inconvenient interferences won't have to do so anymore. Unless, of course, they prove to be hereditary.
Well,
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is something I've been itching to say about the last time I addressed your institute back in 1994.
Thank you, Your Highness. That's quite enough. You get the tenor of his relationship with the Royal Institute of British Architects there. He admits that there are not many fans of his, because what Charles espouses in his School of Traditional Art is what he calls traditional old-style beauty. And we'll get into some of the hallmarks of what that looks like later on. Now, moving forward a year or so, the British developers that had been responsible for carrying out this plan by Richard Rogers have sued in British High Court, and have been found, it's been found in their favour that there was a breach of contract between the Qatari real estate development branch that had joint ventured on this Chelsea Barracks project. And the reason that there was a breach of contract, because 1 week before the plan was to go to the Westminster Planning Commission, and it was likely to have been approved, the Qataris withdrew. They sacked Rogers. They cancelled the project. The Candy brothers, who were the developers, were left holding the bag, and they sought several million dollars in, actually pounds in damages, and the High Court found in their favour. Now, one of the reasons that the High Court found in their favour, scroll forward 1 year, in the news from United Kingdom, 15th June 2010, Qatari DR, the Qatari Development Company, deleted emails that were harmful to its case, the court was told. Lord Grabener QC Council accused other Qatari DR staff of lying on oath to cover their tracks. He said, "All the witnesses lied to your lordship when they gave evidence. They were motivated by their concern to conceal what actually happened." Interesting. Then, 25th June 2010, the full contents of Prince Charles' emotional letter to the Prime Minister of Qatar, imploring him to rethink Richard Rogers' plan for Chelsea Barracks, have been made public. Now, before I read this to you, let's just take a brief break. Let's have Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Back to Burning Down the House. Again, we're supported in this episode by TechServe, www.techserve.com. Remember, /recycling for more information about their e-waste recycling event this Saturday, July the 10th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on 23rd Street near 6th Avenue. I do want to read what His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales had to say to the Prime Minister of Qatar on stationery from Clarence House, which is the Prince's official residence. And what better music than Darth Vader's march? Your Excellency, First March, 2009. I hope you will forgive me writing, but I only do so because of a particular concern for the future of the capital city of this country. For the entire duration of my life, we have had to witness the destruction of so many parts of London. With one more brutalist development after another, this gigantic experiment with the very soul of our capital city, and with many others in the UK and elsewhere, has reached the point where it is no longer sustainable in our day and age, particularly in view of the immense challenges the world faces. It was interesting that the Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, called the other day for the reintroduction of old-fashioned virtues into the banking system, following the disastrous experiments carried out in that particular sector. I would suggest that there are many other sectors where some old-fashioned virtues are needed. Architecture in the built environment is one of them where it is worth recalling that it is the distinctive urban environments of places like Mayfair, St. James, Bath, or 18th century Edinburgh, which consistently retain and increase their value over time, and where so many people want to live because of the unique qualities, I would say the antique qualities, but he says unique qualities of character, elegance, livability, and atmosphere. Such environments are based on the old-fashioned, I would call them timeless, virtues of squares, mansion blocks, and terraces, all of which can be shown to provide comparable density to that achieved by high-rise blocks. I only mention this because, quite frankly, my heart sank when I saw the plans that have been produced for the old Chelsea Barracks site opposite the Royal Hospital by Qatari DR Real Estate Investments. I am so sorry to have to write to you on this subject, and thus to be so interfering, but it is a site of great importance in London, and therefore deserves something that is appropriate to its context and worthy of its position next to the Royal Hospital. In this regard, I wonder whether you might be interested to see the attached alternative. Plans for the site, which have been put together by the architect Quinlan Terry. Apart from anything else, they incorporate one of the many small tributaries of the Thames, which are currently imprisoned underground, and which the Mayor of London has said he wishes to see brought back into being. In Quinlan Terry's plan, for the river becomes an elegant feature that enhances the site. Blah, 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 blah. I hate to labor this point, but I really do not think I am alone in being deeply concerned about what happens to the old Chelsea Barracks site. Many people are exasperated by what happens in London, and all my experiences with my Foundation for the Built Environment, FBE, which I started 20 years ago to preserve the old-fashioned virtues in planning, design, and construction, and to prevent their extinction, is confirmed over and over again that when you sit down and consult local communities and provide them with an alternative vision, they invariably prefer the more timeless approach. Why? Because it enhances all those qualities of neighborliness, community, human scale, proportion, and dare I say, old-fashioned beauty. I can only urge you to reconsider the plans for the Chelsea site before it is too late. Many would be eternally grateful to Your Excellency if Qatari DR Real Estate Investment would bequeath a unique and enduring legacy to London, and my Foundation for the Built Environment would be only too delighted to work with you if you felt it would be of any help. On that score, I also enclose some information about my FBE, together with a copy of the report, Valuing Sustainable Urbanism, which was produced with the assistance of the British Property Federation, and demonstrates clearly how such an approach can not only enhance commercial value, but also social and environmental value. I know that this is the case because we have proved it with the Duchy of Cornwall's continuing development on the edge of Dorchester in Dorset. This is a groundbreaking extension to the town, and I would love you to come and see it in the near future. I'm going there on 24th March, if you ever had the time. With my kindest regards to Your Excellency, Charles. Woof. So, Richard Rogers says what the prince has done is unconstitutional. Who elected him? So the High Court rules Qatari DR breached terms of contract with Candy Brothers. This is worldarchitecturenews.com in brief, 25 June 2010. Mixed emotion for the Candy Brothers today as the High Court ruled that Qatari DR had indeed breached its contract. However, it was not liable to pay the £81 million compensation previously requested. Mr. Justice Voss stated that both firms were faced with a very difficult position once the Prince of Wales intervened in the planning process, and that his intervention was no doubt unexpected and unwelcome. Close quote. See, even there, they can't really just stand up and say, you're out of line. They have to be polite to the prince. Candy Brothers reclaiming compensation, blah, 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 blah. Now, what's interesting to me, the architectural preferences of Charles, which we can discern that I'm not alone in my concerns as we listened to his opening remarks to the RIBA last year, is that he strongly promotes what Richard Rogers calls, and in the case of Quinlan Terry, architectural plagiarism. Kind of like what you see at Disney when they appropriate an architectural style and build it all anew and pretty it up. What you've got is something that is inherently a stage set. It's not a solution to an architectural program. It's a stylistic flourish. Now, say what you will about Richard Rogers' initial scheme. It is not brutalist. Brutalism is this style of architecture that was much in favor right after the Second World War, practiced in England by people such as Peter and Alison Smithson, and featured a lot of exposed concrete. Brutalism comes from the word béton brut, or raw concrete in French. And what Rogers does is not brutalism. Le Corbusier did brutalism, and he did it rather well, but then Corbeau is Corbeau, and he's the tops. But what the prince prefers, what he promotes, are these Greco-Romano themes, pediments, colonnades, what you would otherwise call classical architecture. Things that were in vogue, and rightly so, as a re-examination and a rediscovery of antiquity during the Palladian period. I've mentioned before, and I wish to mention again, the fabulous show of Andrea Palladio's drawings currently on exhibit at the Morgan Library, 39th and Madison. You must go and see them. They are intense. But Palladio set the stage for a stylistic inquiry that lasted several centuries and which died except amongst the landed gentry as the preferred and officially endorsed style of buildings. It has nothing to do with urbanism or planning. What Quinlan Terry has proposed is itself looks like a barracks with squares and uninterrupted facades. You can see pictures of that in my accompanying blog, which I think is linked to at the Heritage Radio Network page for Burning Down the House. You can click on that link, and I've put up some images of Lord Rogers' scheme and also of Quinlan Terry's. And I leave it to you to decide which is more responsible. And they're really quite different. But then this royal interference got me thinking about the style that Charles prefers. And it's disturbing because his Greco-Romano fandom is not so very different from the officially sanctioned style of architecture promoted and created by the Third Reich. Now, I know in the blogosphere, all argument breaks down when someone calls somebody else like Hitler. I don't mean to go there. I mean to have all of us as architects actually look at what Charles is promulgating. If you look at his development in the Duchy of Cornwall, you know, he is the Duke of Cornwall, and he owns most of Cornwall. So he can do whatever he bloody well wants with his own land and his own money. And what he's done there is create a new town designed in a farmerish, a homey, rural style. It's called Poundbury, P-O-U-N-D-B-U-R-Y. And you can see pictures all over the web about that. And these, you would say in German, that would be like a Dorf, like a little village, a villagey, homey kind of thing. Now, the Nazis had an official program of what they called traditional architecture. They called it Heimatliche Hausbau, and I'll help you fix the tag after the program here, because it's German. It means homey house building, and so one of the features that was very popular with the National Socialist Party of Germany was the hipped roof. Not the gable, the hipped, the brooding, it slopes on all sides kind of roof. That's a hipped roof. And brick and stone and stucco, nothing modern. No. None of that communist modern stuff for us. And that was one of the reasons that even non-Jewish architects like Grope, Walter Gropius, had to leave Germany. They were not wanted. They had to leave or face the possibility of being sent to a concentration camp. And what we see in the prince's predilections got me looking at the history of the royal family. You know, the current prince and his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, and her father, came into power when the queen's uncle, Edward VIII, abdicated in order to marry Wallace Simpson, the divorced American socialite. Now, the group that, sort of the rat pack of Edward VIII and Wally ran with, if we could be sort of neologistic here, their good friends included Lord Oswald Mosley and Lady Mosley, Diana Mitford. Now, the Mosleys were quite a dynamic couple, and Lord Mosley was the head, he was the leader of the British Union of Fascists, whose symbol was a white lightning bolt on a field of blue surrounded by a circle on a pervading field of red. A lightning bolt in sort of the S shape, very close to one half of the lightning SS symbol of the Schutzstaffel, the SS of the Nazi Party. And Lord Mosley and Lady Mosley were married in the house of Dr. Goebbels, the propaganda minister for the Nazis, I believe he was. And Herr Hitler, the chancellor, was one of their wedding guests. And they were very close friends with the King of England. And there were black shirts in Britain. And they marched, and they did battle with Jewish and communist and just plain decent common folk until trying to put some sense into the situation, they were outlawed. With the outbreak of war, the Mosleys were arrested and they were imprisoned for the remainder of the war. But they were still very close with the king. And so, apropos of our Independence Day coming up, I would like us all those of us who are interested in design and see design as a force of social expression, to be mindful that design and politics are often very closely intertwined. And I have to say that it raises my distaste for His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales fandom for traditional beauty. It smacks of a kind of aesthetic fascism. And he's having meddled in this very large, very important project that would have been employing 15,000 people at this very moment. It would have been under construction already, but it's not going forward. It was a very serious thing. Something that we here, thank God, we don't have to quite deal with, because we have no longer any king or prince or queen. It is our Independence Day, and we should be happy for it. That's about all I really want to talk about this week. Let's just roll the end, and I'll wrap it up. This program has been brought to you by TechServe. Remember, waste recycling event, July 10th. This is Burning Down the House. I'm Curtis B. Wayne. Let it rip. Older places, older faces, cutting